again, because I believe the Lord is doing something here with us in this area of strongholds to see these things get completely and utterly obliterated. A stronghold is just that. It is a place that has a very strong hold on us. It can be used as a place of safety, where the Bible also talks, there's a scripture in Proverbs, I can't recall it right off, where the Lord is our stronghold. And so it can be a place of safety and protection of being in the Lord's stronghold from the enemy, from any, it's a defensive place from the attacks of the enemy. But it can also be a place that the enemy uses in our lives, whether we're Christians or not, whether we're born again or not, whether we are filled with the Holy Spirit or not. There are areas in our lives that the enemy can use as a stronghold where he can reside and launch attacks on us. If we have had problems with repeated sin and habits that we cannot get free from, we've prayed, we've confessed, we've had other people prayed for, you probably have a stronghold. If you have a sickness or a disease that you have not been able to get free from, it's possible you can have a stronghold. The strongholds we're specifically talking about are strongholds of the mind. They are patterns of thinking that are contrary to the Word of God. These patterns of thinking, as you know, that our thoughts have so much power, they control our emotions. Our emotions are our feelings. And when we have thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God, and we have very strong feelings attached to these thoughts, because they're so real to us, we can actually be convinced they're truth. When oftentimes, when truth comes forth, it's not attached to an emotion. It can be, but there may be no emotion attached to it. But we can have these thoughts and these ways that we think, and these ways that we think, and as I mentioned last week, just as a way of reminder, that God gave Satan two specific things, their legal access. These legal accesses, darkness, where it says in Jude that demons are bound to darkness. They're not held in chains somewhere. They're bound in areas of darkness, not physical darkness, spiritual darkness, which means the areas of darkness we have in our life, in our mind, our soul, or in our spirit, that is a legal place where the enemy can come. Now, you may not believe that Christians can be possessed. I do not either, but they certainly can be oppressed. They certainly can have access in their life where demons can get in and just wreak all kinds of havoc, even though they're born again. And it really starts with, and so when we have these dark places, that is a legal place where the enemy is allowed by God to live. That's why we need to have light, all that light, and we have to shed that light. We have to expose every area of darkness so we give no room for the enemy in our life. The second area is food. In Genesis chapter 3, that Satan had to crawl on his belly, and God said, this is what you're gonna eat. You're gonna eat flesh, your dust, which is the flesh, which is what we're made of. So they can actually, demons actually feed on the works of the flesh. So when we are responding in the works of the flesh, we're setting up a buffet for the demonic realm to be able to have access into our life. That's why the Bible talks a lot about that and becoming Christ-like. So we're removing those things, those works of the flesh, and obtaining what? Especially those that have been in the class for several months should know this. The works of the flesh are contrary to what? The fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are Christ-like character traits. These are very basic fundamentals, examples of a stronghold. Number one, pride. Pride is the key a character trait of Satan. It is what he rose up in, and it's the pride that he comes against man with. Pride is this. It's about self. It's about what I want, what I like. It's about me. It's what I like, what I want, what I think, what I believe, what I want. So it's the self-life, which is the self-life is what needs to be crucified. Even Paul said this, I die daily. And so it's that pride. The pride is, when it becomes all about self, that is what I refer to as a sin door. And I mean, what I mean by that is when the pride is the basic element that, see, sin is a symptom. It's not the issue. Sin is a behavior or an issue. If I have a drinking, if I'm an alcoholic, that's not my problem. That's a symptom of a much deeper problem. And if we just deal with the symptoms, we never get free of what's causing the symptoms. And pride can manifest itself in many different ways. It's a sin door that opens up our life that we may sin with drinking, we may sin with excess of money, sin in lust. The sin is not really the issue, and Jesus already died for the sin. It's the pride. So pride is the basic element of a strong, or of the beginning of a real stronghold. Unbelief. Like I mentioned last week, the children of Israel that left Egypt, they were not able to enter into the promised land for one reason. Not because they, you know, made lots of mistakes. Not because they lived in the wrong time. Not because they made a golden calf. The only reason they were not able to enter, and the Bible is very clear about this, is unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief is a stronghold. Fear, being afraid. You see some of these things manifest immediately with Adam and Eve when they sinned. Guilt. Guilt can be a very strong stronghold when we are living with guilt. Again, these things, just like with pride, pride can manifest itself in a variety of different ways through, because all of us are individuals, we're unique, we have unique personalities, and all of those kinds of things. And so the same thing with unbelief or fear or guilt. Shame is another one. Shame is another real strong stronghold. Now, there's many different types of strongholds, and I'm not going to get into all of them today, but we'll talk about a few of them. These fortresses or strongholds, if I have a stronghold of pride, they exist in thought patterns, mindsets, and human reasonings that go against, they're contrary to the Word of God. They can govern me as an individual. They can govern us as a congregation. They can govern us as a city of independence, a state of Missouri. They can govern, these strongholds can be governed, can govern a whole nation. And it's simply the way we think. That's why the Bible says that when we become born again, we have to renew our minds. We have to change the way we think. When we get born again, you no longer have a sin nature. You get a brand new nature, and it's the nature of Christ. But you've got some corruption in your mind, which is really your soul, in the way that you think. And those things have to be changed. They have to be renewed and changed and line up according to the Word of God. And if not, then we have allowed an erection of a stronghold in our mind that's giving access to the enemy. Corrupt thinking, left over from the sin nature, and or the result of experiences, bad teaching, training, things that we have received from our family, our culture, an experience of trauma that we've gone through. Because remember, when we've experienced certain things, how many of you, and I'm going to give some examples here in just a minute, you've experienced some things that were just not, they were not truth or according to the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying about that? We have snakes in our yard, and I don't like snakes, and I don't like spiders. I don't like either one of them, and we have some big black snakes. I mean, they're big, 6 foot long. We see them every once in a while, and we see smaller ones and some stuff, and I just don't like them, and so I'm just a little heebie-jeebie with them. And so when I was mowing the other day, that I'm out of my peripheral vision, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a stick in my yard, and I just immediately, oh, it was a snake. That's what I'm saying, that our thoughts, based on what we see or hear or read, may not be truth. But when I thought that was a snake, immediately, I even sense it now, the hair on my arms are raising up, and my body recoiled, and I kind of froze for just a second. You know, all this happens like that. Until I took a closer look, and I was like, that's just a stick. But that's what I'm talking about. when our thoughts are not lined up with truth or with the Word of God, but our mind receives them as something else and we interpret them, and the emotion becomes so strong on the inside of us, we actually think it's real. This can play in all kinds of different things. How many of you, please do not raise your hand and don't blush. When Cherie began to talk about the biblical calendars, your mind just shut right off. You know why I asked that? Because mine did for years. Anytime I heard teachings on that, I recoiled. It was like, that's a Jewish thing. It's not a biblical thing. I'm not Jewish. I don't want to know anything about it. I resisted this for years, just until the last few. My mind just shut off. It doesn't apply anymore. It doesn't apply to me. It's Old Testament. We can come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. Here's another stronghold, the word church. I mean, everybody uses the word church, and the word church is not even a biblical word. It's an amazing thing. We all have mindsets of what we think church is, should be, or should, you know, or supposed to be, or what we like, and it's not even a biblical word, but we're convinced because we've taught it, we've seen it, we heard it, we speak about it, but we're convinced it's actually true when it's not even in the Bible. It's an amazing thing. Those kinds of things happen all of the time. How many times, you know, and this has been my experience with people, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I had a problem with supernatural, being healed supernaturally by God years ago. You know, one of the reasons why? I was basing it off of my experience. I had never been healed supernaturally. I've never really seen too many people healed, and the ones I did got sick again. And so I was basing truth off of my experience, and I was convincing myself, well, I didn't know. You understand what I'm saying? This is so, and we can say it, and I can preach it. God heals, Jesus heals. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, not just a few. He's a healer, but my experience is telling me something else. And I'm believing my experience and not really what the Word of God is. I can say it, but I'm really not. Remember my illustration with the teacher that I worked with a couple of years ago when we had the healing thing? Same thing was happening with her. We can use the same thing with speaking in tongues. How many times have we heard that? That's of the devil. That's the enemy. That's not for now. That was just for the first church. That was just for the apostles. Or we have these, because I am filled with the Holy Spirit, but if I say I'm not filled and I don't speak in tongues, well, because I don't have it, well, I guess it's not for everybody. And we'll teach these things, and it's not scriptural. It's not the Word of God. But we don't go to the Word of God to find out what it really says. We typically want to live by how we feel and how we think and what we choose to believe. And that's one reason why the body of Christ isn't, just one reason why we're in such a mess. How many people do we know that have had very terrible childhoods, negative experiences with their father? Maybe they never even knew their father. Maybe their father sexually abused them, physically abused them. One lady comes to mind that I dealt with several years ago, Christian. She could never, ever call the Lord daddy or father. She couldn't use the words. And it finally came out in counseling with her. Why? Because of the abuse that she received from her father, she could not receive God the Father as a father. You can receive him as God. But her experiences were, and the trauma was telling her something else. And that was because it was tied to emotion, and it became more real than what truth is. So dangerous. We've got to be awakened to this. Effects of some strongholds: anger, rage, anxiety, just a constant fear, sin or habits that we cannot get free from, oppression, depression, confusion, constant relationship issues, a sickness or a disease we can't get healed from, financial issues, sexual addictions, excessive eating, disorders of all kinds, and impulses that continually keep reoccurring. I told you this, but this is a great example. You guys okay? Anybody that needs to leave, you can go ahead and go if you need to go. I meant to say that earlier. I can't remember the date now. I think it was 2 years ago, July. I can't remember. Whenever Mark Wiederwall passed away, and I went to Morocco. I've told you the story a couple different times. And I was there in Morocco, and I was driving Amy's car. It's a stick shift. She didn't drive it, and I was driving it all over. Took her and a couple of her boys to a memorial service at the church, and I was going to go back to pick up her sister. Remember me telling you the story? So I'm just going to speed through it. And I knew how to get back and forth from her apartment to the church, but only going the main road. And I came out of the church, I'm by myself, and the main road's closed. And so there was a detour, and they sent me a different way that I've never been before. Now I'm in a foreign country, everything's in Arabic. I don't know how to spell, I don't know how to read the signs or talk the language. And all of that, and I'm driving around, and I am so lost and so turned around, and I couldn't figure out where I was. And when I was lost, fear began to rise up. It began to get dusk, and I'm like, dear Lord, I'm going to be out here. It's going to be dark, and I'm going to be lost in Morocco. And not on top of that, I'm like, oh, Amy is going to be so unhappy with me. So all I was doing was a short little errand for her. It's her husband's memorial. And I'm lost, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, when you get in a fear like that, stuff starts going in your mind. You're going to die. You're going to get robbed. You're going to be beat to death. You're going to end up in a prison in Morocco for being a, I mean, who knows? All of this stuff starts going through your mind. And I have to tell you, I was getting, and I sensed it right away. I'm like, I'm getting scared. I mean, it's hard to pray when you're like that. I was going to be honest with you. And I was like, I just got to pull over and come to myself. And I pull over to the side of the road, and I'm like, I'm calmed down. See, we have to, that's why taking every thought captive. These thoughts were just running rampant in my mind, and they were causing my emotions just to run rampant. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, dead somewhere along the highway, and I'm still in the car safe. You know what I'm saying? These kinds of things, boom, 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 and it's all of a sudden. And if you're given to emotion anyway, you're so far, you could be so far down the road with this. And I sensed I was getting there, and I'm like, I'm in trouble. So I pull over, and I'm like, calm down. I took a deep breath, and I said, okay, Lord, it's just me and you. That's what I said. I said, it's just me and you. Like, that's it. I just have the Lord. And I'm like, and in the state I'm in, it's like, I can't hear correctly. And I'm thinking, like, if I call Amy, what am I going to tell? Actually, I did, and she didn't answer. And then I called one of her friends, or I can't remember if I called her friend, or I couldn't find the phone number, one of the two. But then I'm thinking, well, if I get a hold of him, what am I going to tell him? I'm at the building that looks purple next to the little tree and trash in the street that looks like every other street. What am I going to tell him where I'm at? And so I calm down, and I'm like, okay, Lord, it's just me and you. And I'm like, I'm lost, Lord. I need your help. And if you don't help me, I'm really in bad trouble. I'm just lost. And I don't remember exactly everything that I said, and I was praying. And I mean, it just, as I calmed down, it took just a split second or two, and the Lord said, get back, get out into the street and keep going in the direction you're going. That's all I heard. And you know what I did? I did just that. Now, that doesn't make sense, because I was going in that direction, and I was going nowhere but getting worse in fear. But that's what I heard in my heart. I pull out in the street, and I go, I was 3 blocks from her apartment. I recognized it because there's a bunch of pink and purple stuff on the wall, and I recognized the area, and I didn't even know it. That's how close I was. But this is the kind of things that the strongholds of fear and the doubt, the unbelief and the things, and how it can be so tied with emotion and get you so going in a different direction. Legalism is a demonic stronghold cloaked in religion to appear righteous. But it'll blind you to the truth, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. What's the answer to this? And I'm closing. It's repentance and forgiveness. In charismatic circles, we have learned some, what's the word to say it, some things to say. We have learned to speak certain things, certain repetitious type things. One of them is, in prayer is, I apply the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't say that. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is saying it doesn't do anything. Actually, applying the blood of Jesus does something. And that's repentance. And that's receiving His forgiveness. And the blood of Christ, what? Cleanses us of all unrighteousness. We have been convinced in charismatic circles saying it is the same thing as doing it. It's the the same thing as walking in it, and it is not. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, and it's not even important, but I'm saying if it's exclusive, that's all we're doing, we're not getting it. We're not walking in it. Repenting. In our culture today, we have removed personal responsibility. So often we just want somebody to pray for us. We just want to go to church a couple times and everything will be okay. I just want to read, or I just want to pray today and everything's going to be fine. And it can work that way, but God is more interested in our journey and our life with Him and changing us and molding us and shaping us to be like Christ. And that doesn't happen in a moment of time. There's a lot of things that can happen in a moment of time, but it's a journey with the Lord. And renewing our mind is a personal responsibility. And getting into the Word. Do you know when God created the world, you know this, He spoke a word. He didn't play a guitar. He didn't play a video game. He spoke the word. He didn't even have worship music playing. See, we have a long time ago moved into such a music-oriented culture that we believe that listening to worship music, playing worship, is the same thing. It is not. It's the Word of God. Matter of fact, the whole Gospels and the whole Jesus' life, we have a recording only one time. They sang one hymn of music, and that was it. There was no other time that it says there that they played music or they worshiped together. None. Zero. I'm not saying that that's not important. If it wasn't important, we wouldn't be doing it. But it's not the same as getting the Word on the inside of us. I believe it's 2 Peter said that it's obedience to the truth, obedience to the Word that purifies our soul, where those impressions of those strongholds are made in the soul. It's obedience to the Word and it's obedience to truth that purifies our soul, and it gives us a gauge how we know that that's taking place. And it goes on to say, for a sincere love of the brethren. That's our gauge by how well we love. On how much of the Word of God's getting into us and changing us from the inside out. Few things real quick. A Barna poll indicated that at least 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. This is how ignorant of the Bible that we are, even in our American culture and even in the church. Over 50% of graduating high school seniors thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. It's funny, but it's sad. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. Barna Research says only 19% of Americans read their Bible at least four times a week outside of church. Reveal says 90% say they attend church because they want help understanding the Bible. 1 Peter 1:22, I got it here. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. When we're held in bondage by this fear, a few things real quick. Number one, Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He said there's two types of sorrow. There's a type of sorrow that's from the Lord, and that leads you to repentance. There's another type of sorrow that's a sorrow of the world, and it leads you away from the Lord. That's played out here's two good examples, Peter and Judas. Judas was sorrowful, but it led him to what? Death. He never repented. Peter was also sorrowful when he rejected Christ. But what did that do? It led him to repentance. That's the two difference of the sorrow. So often, this happens in charismatic circles too. I don't mean to hammer on charismatics. But it happens in charismatic circles because we have gone so far overboard with our confession and saying everything just right and all of this stuff. We want to deny reality in certain things. And you know, when I first got born again and got into charismatic circles, it was like taboo. You don't tell people you're sick because that's a lack of faith or you're in sin. When you're sniffling and your eyes are all red and snot's coming out of your nose. I mean, it's like just you're sick. Saying you're sick doesn't keep you from getting healed, by the way. And having issues or having problems or whatever. But we have learned these kinds of behaviors. So when we're convicted by the Holy Spirit that we're in sin, we interpret it as a condemnation and we immediately reject it. And just like the world system knows that if we're not going to admit what our issues are, we're never going to find healing. Never going to find healing. When we continually say, no, that's not me. No, it's this. Or that was because of my wife. That was because of my dad. That was because of my... We blame. Shift. We reflect any of that. You will never get healed in that. You know what that is? It's really pride, which we started off before. It's about self. It's pride, and I'm not. Oh, that's condemnation. No, it's not. It's conviction. You know what condemnation? When you are condemned to something. Conviction is when I come and say, Sandy, you know what? I saw this in your life, and I'm helping. Or the Spirit of God just speaks to her, speaks to me, and just says, hey, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Oh, yeah, we just try to get rid of the thoughts. No, we accept it. Jesus said, agree with your accuser along the way. He didn't say disagree. We have to agree with truth. And as long as we keep reflecting the truth, we're not going to find the healing. So in these thought patterns and things, and I know I'm going kind of fast because of the time, and we'll talk about it some more. We have to say, you know what, that's me. Because they manifest in certain different ways of anger or fear or jealousy and strife or however it might manifest. But it's the thought life, the way we think has got us trapped in many cases. And we're unable to find freedom because we first have to say, you know what? It's a thought pattern. And just as I just read, and I know this to be true anyway, and I'm not saying here, but many Christians are so ignorant of the Bible. They really are. And it's an amazing thing to me in a culture that still accepts the Bible and has the Bible in so many different translations and different type, print, and all of these kinds of things. We have everything at our disposal, and we're still very ignorant of what the Word of God really says. We have been more trained by TV, more trained by what they say at school, what we hear on the news, or all of these other things from our culture, from how we feel, how we just want to believe, instead of what the Word of God says. It's the Word of God that will set us free. The truth will set us free, not the lie. And so we have to be humble enough to receive the truth. And then we have to repent. Repent just means to change our mind, shift, move from going that way to this, go to the Lord's way. Do you know God's counseling method can happen in an instant? It really can. It's us that choose the long way. It really is. Look at that in the Bible. There's a pattern for that instant. All we have to do, repentance is instant. We are instantly changed to the other way. Now we have to just train our mind to think that way and quit going back into the ditch the other way. See, Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that you are truth. No matter how I feel about it, what I think about, any issue, whatever's going on, you are truth, Lord God. So, Father, I pray for every one of us in this room and those that are hearing by tape, the Father, that we would humbly come before you. And that, Father, we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And we would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Maybe you've been told your whole life that you are an unplanned pregnancy. You are unwanted. And you've received that thought, and that's been imprinted on your soul, and it has caused you to think a certain way and given you a certain worldview that is contrary to the Word of God. Maybe you've been told you are worthless. You'll never amount to much. Maybe just recently the enemy's just been throwing those. Maybe it's been an ex-spouse or even your spouse now that has told you some things. And you've received those things and they've just gone, they've been imprinted and engraved in your heart. Maybe it's from a pastor or some spiritual leader or anybody in authority in your life have told you different things. I've had coaches in my life and sports teams tell me certain things. I've had teachers tell me things. See, we've got to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. That's their opinion, but what God says is what truth is and what matters. And we may have to get into the Word and just keep getting into the Word, because we've got to remove those corrupt files from our soul, those corrupt files from the way we think, and receive those new files from the Lord, from what He says. I'm not standing in front of my coaches. I'm not going to stand before my dad or any other leader. I'm standing before the Lord. And what He says and what He says about me on that last day, that's the only thing that really matters. And then we may not feel like it now, but that's what the truth is. And we've got to get the Word. So I just ask you to open your heart now, whatever the Lord is telling you or speaking to you now, whether it's something you need to confess and repent of or something you just need to receive. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we thank You. Thank You for healing and cleansing. We acknowledge that it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can cleanse our conscience free from all guilt, fear, shame, condemnation. Matter of fact, I just saw somebody, you went home, and I'm just going to encourage you, if this thought came to you, and just encourage you to do this, just take communion this afternoon. I saw somebody doing it. I don't know exactly who it was. Just sit down and just take communion. You know what I mean by that? The Lord's Supper, the elements, the juice, the wine, the bread, however you want to do it. And you just receive His blood and His broken body afresh and anew. That's been broken for every one of us. He's the bread of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all have a blessed day.